This is Tribe Skipper Terry Francona, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on News Talk 1480 WHBC.
Yeah, we are less than a month away from opening day. Indians baseball will come your way here on WHBC once again Thursday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. They open up on the road at Detroit. That's the opening day. The home opener will be Monday, April 5th. But the spring training games, the Cactus League games, are already going on. In fact, today the Indians are playing the Arizona Diamondbacks, and currently they trail the Diamondbacks 4-1 in the fourth inning. Let's see who got the start tonight. Zach Plesac, 2 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. Don't get concerned about that. The first outing for Zach Plesac, and they're just working on pitches and arm strength and all that stuff. But you do want to watch the guys that are hitting the baseball with a lot of new faces in new places. And so we'll keep you up to date on that throughout the day. But the good thing about this is you get to listen to the games here on WHBC, and you get to watch the games. And there will be spring training games to watch as well as the regular season games to watch on Fox Sports Time Ohio. And joining us right now, fraternity brother and friend of the program for many, many years, the one, the only, Matt Underwood. How are you, dog?
I'm good, Kenny. How are you?
I'm not bad today. Flying solo. JT's off today. So you and I talking some Tribe baseball. And I got the email the other day from Fox Sports Time Ohio. You guys are going to broadcast, what is it, 10 games during spring training for people to watch?
Yeah, I think there will be a total of 10 games that will air on SportsTime Ohio during the month of March, and 5 of those games will actually be produced by our team, our crew, and the other 5 games will be picked up by some of our other RSNs, whether they be, you know, Fox Sports Midwest of Milwaukee or Fox Right. Sports out in San Francisco where it's the Giants. So you'll have 10 games in all. The games that we will be televising begins on St. Patrick's Day. We've got a 9 p.m. game against the Cincinnati Reds. And then the rest
good, man. We can get all liquored up. We can get all liquored up on St. Patty's Day, staying at home for the pandemic, and pop Matt and Rick and Andre on the TV and throw back some green beer that night. That'll be nice.
Absolutely. And then we're right back the next day against the Cubs with a 4 o'clock start, and then we finish with 3 straight games, Sunday the 21st against the Rangers, Monday the 22nd against the Brewers, Tuesday the 23rd against the Giants. All those are 4 o'clock starts. And then we'll come home for 4 or 5 days, about a week, and then start the regular season. So looking forward to it, really excited that we've got baseball back, and that I think, you know, not only as a sport, but I think the country, we're starting to turn the corner on this virus, the pandemic, and I hope that means we've got a full season ahead of us, and I hope that means fans back in the stands and starting to enjoy baseball again.
Yeah, we're hearing at least to start from what Governor DeWine has said in the month of April, and the Indians have released a press release on this, 30% of capacity, which would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000. But I think 10,000 for the players after what they went through last year, Matt, will sound like 35,000, won't it?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some of the guys about this, and it was interesting to get their take. You know, many of them really echoed the sentiments that I had, that it was just strange last year. It was just weird. I remember Oscar Mercado telling me that one of the first games, you know, he was going to home plate in a bases loaded situation late in the game. And, you know, he said, you just get so used to leaving the on deck circle and hearing the crowd roar. And he said, it was just so weird walking up there and there's nothing. You know, you had the fake crowd noise pumped in, but it's just not the same. You don't feel the energy. And it's something that, you know, they never really got used to. They made the best of it. And, you know, certainly once you dig into the box, or, you know, once you're on the mound looking in for the sign, you're not hearing the crowd noise or thinking about it anyway. But it was just something that they had to adjust to. And I think they're all excited to have the real McCoy back in the arena this year.
Matt Underwood, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline here on the Kenny and JT show. You'll be able to watch He, along with his partner, Rick Manning, and Andre Knott, Sports Time Ohio, Indians games all season long. And you can check out some spring training games starting on, tomorrow, as Fox Sports North will air the Milwaukee Brewers Indians game. And then, of course, their crew will start doing the game against Cincinnati on St. Patty's Day. And, oh, and by the way, good news. Since you came on, you're the good luck charm. Since you came on, Franmil Reyes just went yard. A solo shot in the bottom of the fourth. So the big man with his first home run of the spring. And you know what? I had a chance to do a virtual visit with him and interview him. And he's going to be a big part of this lineup, isn't he, Matt? They need him to step up either in that number four or number five spot and be that 30 home run, 100 RBI guy, don't they?
Yeah, he has to be. I mean, it's hard to put, you know, numbers on it. Yeah, would those numbers be ideal? Certainly. I think more importantly, he has to be a factor. He has to be somebody that opposing pitchers fear, that when he comes up to bat, when there are RBI situations, that he can drive in those key runs. I think if he does that, then pitchers, they get a little nervous. You know, that's when they usually make mistakes. He can then maybe create opportunities for other players, depending on how the lineup shakes out, you know, who's in front of him, who's behind him. I think he has the potential, Kenny. He has that power. I think that we have seen him at times maybe get a little too long, too big in that swing. You know, he has the kind of power that when he stays short, he can still drive the ball the other way and hit it out of the park with no problem. So I think it's all there. The talent's there. The personality is there. He could be, very easily, he could be the next big thing in Cleveland sports because of all of the intangibles that you look for in your star athletes. One, he can hit the ball a mile. People love the long ball. They love power. And two, he's got that big smile, that energetic personality. So it's all there. It's there for the taking for Franmil Reyes.
Yeah, and the reason it's there for the taking is the off-season move of trading Francisco Lindor to the New York Mets. And we knew it wasn't if, it was when, and it happened. And so now we start the era without Mr. Smile. And you wonder who's going to be that shortstop to replace him. What are you hearing early in camp? Is there a favorite, Matt, at shortstop to replace Francisco Lindor, or is it going to take the entire spring training to determine that?
First of all, let me just say that I'm really happy that you saw the tweet and that you're referring to him as only Francisco now.
Yes.
I think that they've got some guys that they will look to, and I think Jimenez is the odds-on favorite. I think it'll be an upset if he's not the guy. He has tremendous hands. I think he's already shown that in the first few spring training games. He's a young guy that got a chance to make his major league debut last year with the Mets. The intangibles are there. The tools, he has the tools defensively. Offensively, he's going to be a work in progress. He's going to have to, you know, go through some ups and downs. Look, when Lindor first got to the big leagues, the knock was, we don't know how much he'll hit. And it seems like with a lot of young shortstops, that's what everybody says. Well, he can field, he can pick it, he can throw, but you don't know how much he'll hit. Very rarely do you see a guy get to the big leagues because he can hit, but we're not sure if he can field the ball because it's a premium defensive position. So if he can, if Jimenez can provide some offense, I think the position, again, it's like Reyes, it's there for the taking. Rosario is the guy that's interesting because, you know, he's got the same kind of skills, but they're looking at him more as a guy that could play some other positions. So whether or not he's a utility player because of his age, they may still want him to play every day, which could ticket him to the minors. That's what spring training is all about. But I think as we sit here today, Jimenez has the leg up on that category.
What about first base, Matt? Josh Naylor was acquired last year. Jake Bowers is a guy that got mad at me 2 years ago at spring training because I was referencing him as an outfielder, and that's where he mostly played the last 2 years, but he was pissed at me for not knowing he was a first baseman or should be playing first base. Does he have a chance to be the everyday first baseman? Is it Naylor? Is it Bobby Bradley? Who is it?
Well, some of those decisions are interdependent upon who winds up in the outfield. And I don't know, Kenny, that any of those guys could just have a great spring and say, well, this guy's the first baseman, irregardless. That's it. He's the first baseman.
Okay.
I think Naylor, if I was going to put money on it, I would like Naylor probably at first base above the other guys. Only if they can find enough out. I mean, how many outfielders do they have in camp? I mean, certainly
17.
There's enough there to you would think they could find three guys to play every day and still keep Naylor in the lineup. Maybe he's at first base. But
right.
Here's where it gets interesting, because Bobby Bradley's lost a lot of weight and he's come to camp with the attitude of, hey, it's my time to shine. It's my time to be on the big league club. If he takes them by storm and forces that decision, if he's your first baseman, then Naylor is probably in the outfield, and then maybe that makes you a better team, because I think we've been waiting for Bobby Bradley. We've all seen the potential, the power, hasn't really had maybe the best opportunity to put it on display at the big league level. So maybe this is his opportunity, and if he wins that job, he's going to get that chance to prove it. But, you know, Jake Bowers, I think, is a natural defensively. When you watch Jake, it's smooth. It's effortless. It's fun to watch him defensively at first base. He's just a guy that offensively has not been able to really put it together. And he's had some opportunities at the big league level. I mean, he's had some extended looks. So it just comes back down to who's going to get the opportunity. And does it come down to what they do in this spring? Or does it come down to numbers based on who's playing in the outfield? There are a lot of factors at work.
Ideally, Matt, offensively, if you're looking at it, I'm in agreement with you. If Bradley can show he can play every day and put up some numbers, then you've got an extra power bat in the lineup with Bradley there, and you move Naylor to right field, Rosario's in left field or vice versa, however you want to do it, and then the only battle's for center field, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Oscar Mercado, you know, certainly gets your first long look, because I think you have to kind of take last year and with a grain of salt. And yeah, it wasn't good for him, but I still think there's a lot of potential there. If you're going to say 2 years ago was a fluke, then you have to weigh last year with this in the same breath. So let's give him a fresh slate and go and see what he does this year. That being said, you know, Eddie Rosario, as you said, he's got the power. I think defensively, he can certainly handle left field with no problems. So, I just don't know, you know, who's going to get the opportunities. Like, you know, where does Bradley Zimmer fit into this? Is this the year it comes together for him? Or is he simply a guy that's never going to quite make it all the way? There are a lot of decisions that they're going to have to make. And, you know, nobody likes to make those decisions based on what happens in spring training. And while they say they don't, for some of these guys, it's going to come down to what they do in this spring as far as can they tip the scales. Can they do just enough to maybe curry favor to where, hey, let's go with this guy and give him the first opportunity. And that's what some
Matt
of
Matt Underwood, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline here. Yeah, on the Kenny and JT show. Thanks, Matt. I'm looking at the rotation. Bieber, Plesac to me, 1 and 2. 3, 4, and 5, is that up for debate as to who you put behind the Cy Young Award winner from last year and a guy who had a .228 earned run average from last year?
Well, I think there's going to be competition. I think Aaron Civale is one of those guys. I don't think there's a whole lot of debate. I mean, there certainly could be. If he stumbles, if he, you know, has any kind of an injury setback. But I think Aaron's, you know, one of those guys. I think, you know, what's going to happen, though, when you start to slot all of those guys in there, whoever they break camp with, because of what happened last year and because of their previous track records, there's nobody that they slot in there that they say, hey, we know this guy can go 200 innings this year. So, you know, take Tristan McKenzie, for example. Great young arm. Love what we've seen so far, but, you know, 2 years ago he was hurt. Last year he pitched a little bit. You don't know how many innings you're going to get from him this year, so maybe he pitches you X number of innings, but then you're going to need some other pitchers. Maybe Logan Allen slots in and eats up some of those innings. Maybe at some point this year we see the major league debuts of guys like Scott Moss and some of the other young pitchers that I know they're really excited about. Sam Henches is another guy that I'm excited about, another left-handed pitcher. So that's where it gets interesting. And it's not just the Indians. There's a lot of teams, because of last year, the shortened season, you don't know what kind of, you know, what kind of conditioning these guys' arms have to where you can say with, you know, pretty good confidence going into the year, hey, I know we can count on 180 innings from so-and-so. There's a lot of question marks on a lot of teams, so pitching is going to be really interesting to see how they piece the whole thing together.
What about the bullpen? Is it Karinchak's job to lose as the closer? Yeah. Or even though he didn't pitch last year, Emmanuel Clase's got the stuff, supposedly, and the electric arm, 100 miles an hour. Does he have a chance or no? It's Karinchak as the closer.
Karinchak to start. You know, I think it's his job.
Okay.
Not to lose. I think it's his job, and he's going to have ups and downs. You're going to have to live with that, as you do with any young closer. I mean, Cody Allen went through it before he, you know, really came into his own. You'll have some of that with Karinchak. There'll be nights where he blows people away on 10 pitches. There'll be nights where 10 pitches in, he's still got the first hitter up there to the plate. So you're going to have to live with some of that. But the nice thing is that you do have, let's knock on wood, Emmanuel Clase in that setup role. Or it might be some nights where he does get opportunities to close. And then you also have the veteran Nick Whitgren. And I think Nick is, you know, a guy who can step into that spot and it doesn't change who he is. We've seen, Kenny, over the years, guys who can pitch the eighth inning, no problem. Put him in the ninth, different guy. The nice thing with Nick Whitgren, he doesn't change who he is, whether it's the eighth inning or the ninth inning or the seventh inning. And that's the other interesting thing to keep in mind this year. The way Tito manages, it could be the seventh or eighth inning. And that's where he goes to Karinchak or whoever he views as his closer, because, hey, the game might be on the line right here. And so it may not be that, you know, what we're used to where this guy only pitches the ninth. You may see, because remember a couple years ago when you had Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, those guys were both dealing, you might see one of them in the game earlier than you thought they were going to come into, because Tito deemed this is where the game kind of hangs in the balance right there.
All right, I had a buddy of mine real quick ask me, Roadman, Oliver Perez, like you and I, just got his AARP card. Does he have a legitimate shot at making this team? What do you think about Ollie Perez, man?
Hey, at 39 years old, he's got a lot to offer off the field, but you still have to do it on the field. If he can still throw strikes and get people out, he's a great addition to that bullpen because he can help a lot of those young guys.
Well, we'll see what happens with the silver-haired lefty if he makes a squad as well. Hey, Matt, have fun with the preseason games, or in this case, the Cactus League games. We'll catch up with you again once we get into the regular season. Be safe, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Roadman. Appreciate it. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.